Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Marang.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Marang.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. Welcome in on this happy Thursday.
You gotta stop shifting on me. It's weird.
Dude, I'm just trying to keep you on your toes.
I don't like it.
Well, I'm in a good mood today.
Fine.
Starting to be caffeinated.
Is this Guardians related? Is that why you're in a good mood?
No. Jakey was talking to me about that out in the old bullpen, and he was like, "Are you stoked? Because it's winner take all." And I was like, "Hell no, dude! I'm super nervous."
I hate these days.
I do have to issue an on-air apology for my unprofessionalism yesterday during the 12 o'clock hour as my now favorite Cleveland Guardian player of all time, Brian Rocchio, sends one to the seats.
It is great, though, because we have the YouTubes, because it's on the socials.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. I know. I noticed that when I had to take a pee at like 3 in the morning. I'm not big on the socials, so I'm like, I go on Instagram maybe like 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And it's usually when I've exhausted Reddit.
I've read everything here.
Yes, I've done everything. Show prep's good to go. And so I saw that. Like, shout out to Jake, though. I love when he does that stuff, and that was really fun. But Daniel, we're professionals here, and that wasn't really professional, my friend. I got to be better than that. We'll come to play today. To my defense, though, in the ninth, Brian Rocchio had an error. Okay, so just throwing that out
just
there.
Wanted to...
I did yell in my car, though, when Bo Naylor hit that home run.
There you go.
Yeah, I was waiting at the light to get on 405, and I'm just yelling, Bo, Bo! I never get to see somebody in their car freak out about something, but boy, am I the one freaking out all the time.
Yeah. It happens.
I know. And it's tough, too, because as a sports fan, like if I'm listening on the radio and it's, let's take you, for example, it's USC Ducks, all right? Yeah. I don't got a dog in this fight, and Maiava throws a game-winning touchdown at the end in the radio call, and someone's in their car, and they're like, son of a, and they're like yelling. At least I would know what they're talking about. When Bo Naylor hits a home run for Cleveland, they're like, what is this guy freaking out about?
See, I'm twisted in the sense that if there's something I really want to watch, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to be in my car. I will sacrifice everything to watch it.
I'm kind of the same way. Baseball can be my exception a little bit because I love radio baseball.
That's fair.
Radio baseball.
I do like radio basketball in a sense, but I don't want to be in the car. So I don't really have too many of those moments. Mine are more, I'll have a full-on car concert. I'm like Phil Collins in the car, man. Are you kidding me? I'm playing them drums.
I think what it is, too, with baseball in comparison to, say, football or basketball, is there's a built-in 20-minute break.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I can run to the store. I can go do whatever.
Sometimes I'll watch, it'll be Sunday, the Sunday afternoon window. the 1 o'clock game. Okay. And I will, you know, finishing up my chores around the house, watching the first half. And then at halftime, I'm like, and go. And then I get in the car and I run down to the bar to meet the boys and finish the game. But it's like, I got that 15, 20 minute window built in.
I had Ducks game.
You don't get that with baseball.
With Ducks game, I had to kind of pre-plan all the social stuff, but it's a late game, then it goes to overtime, and I'm waiting for everything. I haven't taken my dogs for a walk because I've been so busy the entire day, and I'm like, okay, am I going to get... And then, like, I got to take the dogs for a walk before it's, like, eternally too late. So I, for the first time, walked with YouTube TV on my phone with my head down like a total sociopath. So I walked around the neighborhood with my, like, in the dark.
About to get hit by a car that you're not seeing.
So I mean, number one, my neighborhood doesn't get a ton of traffic, where I was, especially with where I was walking. But I also, I'm like, you know what? I mean, I might get hit. I don't want my dogs to get hit. So I have these, like, armbands. You just click them in, and they start flashing. And
oh, okay.
Super bright. So
like a hazard light sort of thing.
Kind of a deal, but you just literally slide them up. They're like Nike armbands. With this, like, huge LED block in them.
Mm-hmm.
So I slipped one on each. They have, like, little, hilariously, and this is so on brand, they have little tactical vests with little name tags on them. I had them made up. Yeah. Everybody sees them. They love them.
To where my dog has a bright pink Columbia rain jacket. Is that on brand for me?
Yeah, I know. They do have pink leashes because Dallas being the little girl, my wife got up her a pink leash, and then we couldn't find it one day, so I bought another one. So now we had two leashes, and so... I know, I'm getting Tanner comfortable in his masculinity is what I'm saying. But yeah, I like in pure darkness because there's two streetlights in my entire freaking neighborhood because the neighborhood's 200 years old. I just have this giant glow as I'm staring at it walking through the neighborhood. So I watch the overtime on my phone walking through the neighborhood. That's the closest I think I've come to that recently.
Lil P on the YouTube chat. True sports fans have absolutely zero control over their emotions in big plays. I started jumping and yelling bang at that Manny home run yesterday. I would too. With how much trouble the Padres offense is, I don't mean to get too sportsy here. That's a big moment. And I think I'll never forget. Dame hits the shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Paul George. It's the Rockets.
Rockets 2014, yeah.
It's the Rocket shot, right? Yep.
Yeah.
I believe it's that one.
Yeah, 0.9.
Well, I'm trying to remember my story, but I was at a friend's house, a good friend of mine, and she had some people over, and it was a very casual sports crowd. It was mm-hmm. not a diehard sports crowd, but it was, you know, Blazer playoffs, you know, everybody was eating on the, you know, F the Rockets situation. Oh, yeah. It's like the birth of our hatred of the Houston Rockets. And so she threw a little party and had some people over. Well, she had a dog that was a little jumpy, and it was a beautiful golden lab named Indiana, like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, like
really, really cool dog. And Dame hit that, and I jumped out of my chair and went, yeah! And the dog bit me in the leg. And I'll never forget that. I think she ended up having to send that dog to, like, somebody else, like a more trained person.
Yeah.
The dog had too many issues.
Yeah, it happens.
But I think I have a scar on my leg for that, and it's nice. I look at it, and I'm like, I love you, Dame.
Point nine.
Just get a little tattoo next to it that says point nine. Yeah, sometimes you just... And I think that's what's beautiful about sports, and, you know, I run into a lot of people in my day-to-day life. What's funny is being in the beer world for a long time, not a lot of sports fans cross over. That Venn diagram's real thin.
Yeah, if you cross too deep into the beer world, it leaves sports, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, and so...
Because it goes past sports and straight into hipster.
No, not really. It just goes into more...
Come on.
I think they just got different priorities.
Come on.
Well, they're all, like, super nerdy about
chemistry. The further
you
get away from sports and beer, the more the mustache curls.
My mustache doesn't
curl. Tell me there's not a direct correlation.
All right, there might be. I don't think so, but you might be right.
I want you to do me a favor real quick.
Shoot.
Look over your right shoulder.
What is this? What am I looking at?
The first preseason game.
Oh, good, disgusting. I mean, I'm watching Jazz Chisholm highlights, and I don't really care for Jazz.
Yeah.
But what I always try to tell them, they're kind of like, yeah, I don't have time for sports. It's not really my thing. And I always say, you know, when you really get into something you enjoy, and you see this, like, this is probably a big reason that Sprague told me he's getting into soccer,
mm-hmm.
is the pure unadulterated childish fun you mm-hmm. can have with sports.
Yeah.
That when you get invested in a sport so much, like for me in this case, baseball, when something happens that you don't expect to happen that you're really excited about, it's almost like when you get drunk and you're a truth sayer, mm-hmm. you know, like everything you say when you're drunk, you probably should say when you're sober because mm-hmm. you'll be real honest. Baseball emotions can be that way too.
Oh, for sure.
And that can really show who you are as a human being. So I'm glad that when Rocchio, somebody who I have criticized many times on this program and in my personal life and in the shower.
You literally.
I got excited, and that was a raw emotion.
It was. For those that missed it yesterday, we're in the commercial break. Cleveland just got out of a jam. Harris is fist pumping. I'm like, I think it was the 6, 7, 8 hitters. And I was like, well, at least Kwan and Hosey are going to get one more at bat. Like that, at worst, that's what's going to happen. And you're like, where are they at in the lineup? And I was like, I can't remember who was in front of Kafis.
Yes.
It was Kafis, Rocchio. And I said Rocchio. And you're like, ah, crap, he sucks. And then when he hits the home run immediately, I love you.
I know, I might go buy a t-shirt. I might have to eat crow on that and buy a t-shirt, especially if my team wins today. Sports are great, man.
See, this is what I mean. This is why sports it matters to have 10 toes down, because if you don't have 10 toes down, you don't get to you get to enjoy it if you're halfway. You don't get to bask in it.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I have to just be a better person about being less nervous in those situations, which is really strange because in my managerial career in restaurants or stuff, and I'm sure if you've ever worked with me, you can tell me I'm a liar, but I always felt I was decent in like crisis management, you know, like I one time had a homeless dude walk in with his pants down yelling he'd been shot. And like we handled that situation as best you could. In sports, though, when it's a heavy moment, I'm just like, oh, God, I just melt, and I just can't handle it. Ooh, boy. And I need to be better about that.
I have to address this on the YouTube chat. Camo, Chip. Danny?
Yeah, dude.
For anybody wondering, I'm wearing a Nike Tech Fleece camo.
I mean, it looks nice. I would never wear camo, but...
I have a lot.
You walked up to the door, and I was like,
I feel
a presence, but I can't see you.
I mean, here.
I can't see.
This, for those watching on YouTube, what color is my lunch bag?
They can't see it.
I know. What color is it? And then my backpack that I have is
John
desert
Cena.
Tan. Because this is just, that's what the formative years of my life, guys. That's what I had. But also, it goes on further. Probably the first time a member of the Air Force has ever worn camo. Just because I was in the Air Force did not put me in an office, folks.
Yeah.
I was in the, like, 0.01% who actually did something.
After Thielman got that pick, I started yelling, and my dog started running around barking like something was going on. That's the truth. And baseball lends itself to those build-up anticipation moments because you're hanging on every pitch. And that's why for people, you know, this will be my one little soapbox for the moment. People that say baseball is boring, it's like, it's not. I watch every single pitch.
It is until it isn't.
I understand July and August are dog days. I get that. But, you know, so is basketball sometimes. And so is a slate like this weekend in the NFL can be where you're like, God, this is what I got to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, baseball or football and basketball are kind of built on more explosive moments to where baseball is literally nothing to the world.
Full tension.
Yeah.
It's a 3-2 count, bottom of the ninth, base is loaded. You know, it just ratchets all mm-hmm. the way up.
And you don't realize that solo home run hit in the fourth inning could be what wins the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can have the bases loaded with no outs and not scratch anybody across.
Ugh. Oakley Duckley, we got a show for you today. A lot to get to today. We're actually a light football day today. I know we could have some fun
with that.
Well,
it's because we're spending a lot on preseason basketball.
The 11 o'clock hour, we'll get into some NBA and WNBA, some stuff. We'll get back into some baseball web gems as well. We will look at the Thursday night football game tonight as the injury report came out yesterday. And here we go again on this. What are you giggling about?
A fan text line, because I said I look like I was a sociopath out there watching YouTube in the dark in my neighborhood and says, Danny, what are you talking about? You are a sociopath.
You are a sociopath.
I mean... Yeah.
Hey, own it. Speaking of owning it, at 12:15, we'll do 10 toes down. We have that for the second time. That's our new Thursday at 12:15. Any and all questions brought to us by you are welcome. 10 toes down, an opportunity to get us to say unequivocally how we feel about something in your life, in sports. I got a leftover from last week we'll get to
anything
as well.
Anything goes.
Anything goes on that. We'll have Tyson Alger in 15 minutes as well. But let's start with here. The Ducks are on a bye this week. Indiana's on a bye this week. Lots of times this stuff doesn't really happen where both teams are on byes. How do you approach that? We'll do that next. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
Yeah. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO. Just two little country kids
outside misbehaving. 1018 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. She lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. There's also YouTube.com/1051TheFan. Jump in the chat. We're always goofing off over there. From the text line, as a Tiger fan, I'll ride and die with Hinge because of his track record. But when you are 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position, try to manufacture a run. Like when you're a shooter on a slump, you drive to the basket. Can't say that enough. I hate Hinge because of what he did in Houston, but he's a damn good manager. Damn good manager.
There you go.
Yeah. Does that count as a 10 toes down?
Sure.
Like an example? Yeah. Like, I don't like Hinge because he's part of the cheating culture in Houston. Yeah. He's good, though.
He's good.
He's good. Although I don't know if Alex Cora is good. I don't know if that's the truth or not.
Is Alex Bregman good?
Yes.
Yeah, he's really freaking good.
Yeah, so is George Springer.
Yeah. So is Altuve. They're all really good.
Buck Martinez, though, did do us all a solid and said, you know, Alex Bregman, he's one of the best hitters in baseball when he knows what's coming.
That was such a great line.
Such a good line.
I do love me some Buck.
Such a good line. Let's dive into a little college football as we're looking ahead. It's a bye weekend for your Oregon Ducks. Remember that you can catch all Oregon Ducks coverage right here on the Fan Sports Network. Games, post-game, pre-game, whether it's our local shows, Jerry and Jorgie, Joey Mack, etc. They're all here for you when it's Duck game day. But there's no Ducks this weekend. But I find it interesting, you know, that there's been a lot of narrative about UW and Oregon's schedule, about playing a lot of teams off the bye. I feel like I don't see a ton of teams play each other that are both off the bye. Is that just a recency bias thing, or
am I digging
here for something?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you typically get that. I, if you look at it, I heard the boys this morning talk about it and kind of how the West Coast teams have all been kind of took it in the rear end, as it were, as it pertains to the buy and the travel and the scheduling and time zones and all that kind of stuff.
Can I tangent something on that real quick? I heard that as well, and I think there's a real solid argument, whether you're Lincoln Riley or Dan Lanning in your comments and Jed Fish. I mean, because you're way up in Seattle, you're going really far for a lot of games. I'm actually going to be the other side of this. Mm. If you didn't like it, why'd you leave the Pac-12? You don't want travel. Why did you go to a conference that has teams in Jersey? Okay, that's a little bit where I'm like, you know, and maybe that's my sour grapes as the one that's left behind.
I'm going to say it sounds a little that.
And if so, I'll own that. But on the reality, though, you can't bitch and moan about being in a bad situation that you chose to be in.
The flip side of that is, in my case at least, my fandom, Big Ten came calling.
Fair. But still, Big Ten comes calling, but you still get to make that choice.
But, again, I'm being asked to the date. Why am I being, this is kind of funny, I'm being asked to the date. I guess that's why I'm being screwed.
But if you're being asked to the date by, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, you can't be mad if Leo lives in Gresham and you live in Vancouver and you got to drive to Gresham for that date.
God.
See what I mean? Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
It's tough.
Like, yeah, you get to go on a date with Leo. I mean, you're probably 22, so you're stoked and you're willing to drive to Gresham, but that's where I'm a little bit like, sorry, tangent over.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. It's not unfair, but the whole,
There are real situations that I understand.
Yeah.
Going to Rutgers one week, coming back for another, and then going to Maryland the next week, that does suck.
That was USC last year.
I get that.
Brutal.
That I understand.
But it's like, there's this, welcome to the Big Ten thing. It's like, what do you mean? You asked us.
Maybe you're in a little different spot, I guess.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, not to be the sour grapes part of this, but it's like, nobody would have left if, you know, Larry Scott wasn't an idiot.
That's also true. If we would have got Texas and Oklahoma, I'd be in a Power Four conference right now.
You would be. And we'd have
Big 12 would probably be gone.
I lean more towards the ACC just getting gobbled up by the Big Ten and SEC.
Big 12 goes and snags Florida State, Miami, and Clemson.
Some version of that, and then the leftovers end up in the Big Ten or the SEC kind of a deal, just geographically.
Or they get hosed like my team did.
Yeah, no, instead of the West Coast being the one that gets broken up, it's the East Coast kind of a deal. It's kind of how
I look probably.
At it. But that, you know, that domino effect of it all, we all know it was money.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of money, it's halftime in Abu Dhabi for the preseason. And Big Pun. I'm sorry. No, that's Fat Joe. My bad. Big Pun, super dead.
Big Pun, super dead.
Super
fat
dead.
Fat Joe, super not fat.
Super not fat. So he was on the flight back with me from Summer League.
Uh-huh.
He had security with him, but I wanted to be like,
what up, dude? Just give him a little dap on the way down?
I wanted to be like, because he sat right in front of me for a couple games. And I went like, man, Fat Joe is not that fat anymore.
No.
Like, it's like mildly overweight Joe. It was just like
looking good, Joe.
Yeah, right. Let me tell you right now, beard game, that thing looks like it's glued on.
Really?
It is the
Maybe
sharpest
it is. Maybe frame. It's fake.
No, it's real, but it is the most framed up beard I've ever seen.
How do you approach a team that's coming off a bye when you're coming off a bye? I mean, you each have 2 weeks have 2 weeks of preparation. Does it cancel itself out? Is it like
I think it probably does.
Negative one times negative one is one.
It's one times zero. Everything's zero, right? It's we'll make the math simple for you.
Thanks. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
thanks. Not a strong math guy. My kid goes, I got an A in math today, and I was like, good thing your genes aren't mine.
But the idea of the rest and recuperation and rejuvenation, all the R's that kind of go with that. That's probably a good thing, but I it's like with anything. When you have too much time to think on things, do you get cute? Mm. You know, we've heard so many coaches, whether it's in college football or in the NFL, the bye weeks going into the playoffs, or like the rest versus rust. It's an old.
Does Ohio State make a run because they had to handle Tennessee at home and Oregon sat around and did nothing? There's a conversation.
There was a lot of that coming out of
Georgia
Oregon.
Georgia sits around and Notre Dame walks in and punches you in the face.
Because, especially in college, because they basically had a month off. Mm-hmm. Like, that's too much. Because you have to be careful because you can't practice too hard because you don't want to get guys hurt, but right. You want to make sure you're staying fresh. That's this whole thing that you have to navigate, right? You know, 2 weeks is Because that's what it ends up being with a full week off, you know what I mean? Before you play a game again.
Ole Miss better be worried. Wazoo's on a bye this week. We're coming for you. 2 weeks to prep for Ole Miss.
Who's going where?
We're going to Ole Miss.
That's right.
And that punch you in the face.
Yeah, it'll probably be like 87 degrees with 90% humidity.
It's going to be rough.
What was it? They played somebody this weekend, and they had like the on-field temperature was like 102.
They played LSU.
Yeah, that's right. It was
102
yeah.
degrees?
Yeah, they said
on Mississippi?
On the field.
That's disgusting.
It like felt like. It was like, ugh.
That's, you're sweating and you just woke up.
Well, I mean, Mississippi, Louisiana, that's Georgia. That's a different, like outdoor, that's a different kind of suck, man. I was at Fort Benning in Georgia in August. I wanted to die. Just shoot me in the face and make sure that I'm dead because I don't want to like also slowly die in that heat and humidity.
Yeah, so I guess maybe you just, because the other team's on a bye, you're not really worried about them ramping up for you because they're probably thinking the same thing. So it's just a war of attrition. It's just get your offense, start getting your offense installed, start getting your game plans going, think about what you need to do, and and
just yawn into the mic. I was like, oh god.
And just get to Sunday. Pretend you're playing Montana State this weekend and then just get through it.
Yeah, I this is definitely, this is the I'll be monitoring the situation. Like it's I have an eyebrow up at it. I'm like, oh, I wonder what this, how this actually impacts, or does it end up being a total and complete non-story?
Does Diane Lanning sit around and watch football all day?
I would imagine so.
It's like his like, one Saturday of the year.
You know what I really
he gets
hope?
To sit around and watch it all live.
I hope he's like, I'm gonna like watch nothing but like Love Island, just a complete just. Complete garbage TV for the entire day.
I want him to be in like the student section at Doak Walker for Florida State Miami and just like wave to kids.
Just pop up like, where's Waldo?
Hi. Oh, me? Yeah, I am the coach.
It's like that photo of the one
you guys
duck.
Ever been to Oregon? It's beautiful.
The one Duck fan that was in the sea of white in the Penn State game. Whoever took that photo.
Great photo.
Shouts to you.
Great
That's a
photo.
Dope photo. It's the easiest game of Where's Waldo I've ever seen, but dope photo.
That would be awesome
to be because he is literally like giving the little wave like hi.
That would be a hell of a recruiting ride.
All right,
you know you're like, hey, you can't talk to the kids because they're there recruiting for Florida State, Miami, whatever team they're on the sideline for. But you get to just you're just there. Someone's like, Dan Lanning came to watch this game. Maybe I should go play for Dan Lanning.
Is there a better game? No, there's not.
No, that's the game. I mean, game day's at Bama Vandy.
I mean, that's going to be fun. Don't be wrong. That has juice, certainly.
If 10 toes down, I can only watch one. It's Miami, Florida State. Yeah. I got too many questions about both of them.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, we'll get to that tomorrow. That'll be a lot of fun.
A fun one.
Kind of chat about that game, what it means for Mike Norvell, what it means for Mario Cristobal, et cetera. But when we come back, we'll bring in our Ducks insider. That's our man, Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. He usually joins us on Wednesdays, but he's with us today on Thursday. We'll do that next, but first we'll toss it to Rust with sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Tyson Alger joins us every single Wednesday at 10:30. We had a little, he's on a bye week too, so we gave him a little credit as he can slide away. But we bring him in on Thursday. Thank you, my friend. Tell me you went and did something non-duck related, non-timbers, non-work related, and you had some release.
So hear me out. We've talked a little bit about how fall weddings are just terrible. If there were no sports, they'd be great because sure. I mean, it's a great time of the year. The weather's nice. But I've missed so many Saturday weddings over the last 12 years. And you know what? It's like that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I had one of my best friends. He's a very considerate guy. And they scheduled their wedding not only for the bye week, but they scheduled it for Wednesday of the bye week. So I don't know who gets Wednesday weddings, but I officiated a Wednesday wedding yesterday. So so if you want to address me as father for the rest of this interview, feel free to get formal with it.
How about daddy football?
I was going to say I'm more of a daddy kind of guy.
that's a whole different service that I provide.
One of my closest friends who I worked with for a long time, he officiated my wedding. And my wife, her mother and stepfather are, you know, fairly religious people. And after he got done with it, they were just like, Pastor Dan, he's just such a God-loving man. We're just so glad you found such a man with a deep relationship with Christ to do your wedding. And we were like, yeah, Dan and I like to drink heavily.
So I'm feeling spry and ready to go this morning.
All right, well, good for you. Well, let's dive right into it, and we'll make it easy. Oregon's win over Penn State is what?
I think program defining.
Ooh, ooh, spicy.
Because we've seen a lot of these where, you know, Oregon's been able to rise up on the occasion, like at home with the Ohio State game last year. And I do think beating Ohio State last year is still probably the best just moment I've been to. But considering where Oregon is in the development of the Dan Lanning era, like these are his guys. This is a group, a team that's built up solely based off of like his recruiting and, you know, obviously some transfers, and to be able to reshuffle the deck from a team that went 12-0 last year to be able to go into Penn State, to go into that environment. I mean, guys, that was as cool of a football environment that I've ever seen, just from not only kind of the pageantry, but just it's that stadium feels alive. And especially with the whiteout, it's not a gimmicky thing at all. It was kind of goosebumps from probably 30 minutes before kick until the end of the game. So for them to like go in there to play a very good Penn State team in that environment, to be able to take the counterpunch after Penn State came back in the fourth quarter and it kind of looked like the Ducks were out of gas. I just think that's a complete statement about what Dan Lanning has turned this Oregon program into. I mean, they can reach a playoff level in good years, and they can be this good again and not in what was supposed to be a building year. And they went out there and They dominated the physicality, especially in the trenches, which I just thought was so impressive on the road. But then you just see where some of that skill pays off too. I mean, Dante Moore might be the best player in the country. And then just some of the plays where he was able to not only hit guys like Kenyon Sadiq or DeCorian Moore, but then you have like a Gary Bryant Jr. making the play for the game winning touchdown. It was just a really major showcase of the riches and the development and just the overall planning that this Oregon program has.
I want to back up real quick to the program defining. What is the difference between this win on the road against Penn State versus, say, because the other big road win I always think of is the Crystal Bowl at Ohio
right.
State. Is the difference of these because a lot of people thought Oregon had a good chance in this game, and then maybe that game kind of shocked and surprised Ohio State? Is it that they came in with the hype and delivered, or is it just 3 versus 6 or the closer number in rank situation?
I think a little of it was just there. I think people were ready to jump on this Oregon bandwagon, but they were just so hesitant to do it because they hadn't seen them play any good teams yet. And I think this was just kind of the green light to basically be like, okay, like this team is a national championship contender. I still don't think, even after that win at Ohio State with that Anthony Brown led Ducks, I don't think anybody after that game was like, okay, like you know, it's national championship opportunity. I think it maybe brought the playoffs into question, but I will say, I mean, I remember being on that field in Columbus, and that's when Oregon fans still really did like Cristobal, and they were saying a lot of the same things of, you know, this guy's a monster in recruiting, like he knows how to build a program. The refrain from Cristobal was always like, we're just getting started, and then he left before, you know, they could really kind of capitalize that. And I do feel like this landing program is probably a year or two ahead of wherever Cristobal's Ducks got. And I just think that the mixture of not only the big win, but then just the feeling of stability that you have with Lanning. Like I'm still not worried at all about him ever leaving for another college job. I would, you know, I think I'd get a little bit more worried if, like, say the Kansas City Chiefs job ever opened up down the road. But I just think, you know, this kind of felt like a stamp. It didn't feel like a lucky win. It didn't feel like a one-off. It just felt like, hey, like this is what this Oregon program does now, and they can come into your house in front of a crowd that's double the size of what they play in front of, and they can be the underdog in the game, and they can knock you around.
Tyson, when you look at this game, you kind of look at the season. We've the first couple of weeks when we had you on, it was like, what do you want to see? How do you want to see it go out? Because we kind of knew how these games were going to play out.
Right.
I'll be honest, it was the first 4 weeks. But now we've seen them against a top 10 program, against a team that has bona fides, that has been kind of stamped, that got some wins in the college football playoff. Is there anything left for you to see or to judge? Or are there things that you're looking at where, yes, they're on the bye week, but they've got an Indiana team coming to town. And I would imagine that when the odds come up on that, Oregon's probably going to be favored by at least probably 6.5. But like when you look at that game and you look at the challenge that Indiana can present, because that the question I have is, to be blunt, Penn State's offense is trash.
Right.
But their trench is great. They do have great running backs, and Oregon did a fantastic job with that. But they have yet to play a quarterback worth his salt. Is that the only remaining question for you? Is like, okay, what happens when Oregon plays an offense that actually has the ability to attack you?
Yeah, that's completely my last check mark for them. Penn State's a good football team. Like, I didn't come away thinking that was a not impressive football team, but from an offensive standpoint, for three quarters they were putrid. And I don't think Drew Aller is a fraction of the quarterback that Dante Moore is, and I don't think he's nearly that. Essentially, that offense just hasn't been able to generate explosive plays for nearly a year. They had some success against the Ducks in the Big Ten championship game last year on the ground, but Oregon was able to neutralize that. And then other than that, they just weren't beaten all that often. And they're going to play offenses this year that are able to have at least some more dynamic presence at quarterback, whether it's this week against Indiana or, you know, you can look down a schedule. I mean, Washington played Ohio State tough there for at least a few quarters, and that game's going to be on the road. That'll be tough. And so it's just I want to see how they're able to lock down certain guys that have big play potential. You saw how that could kind of burn them in the Ohio State game in the Rose Bowl last year. But I was thoroughly impressed with the way that the Rush defense shored up in this game. I thought Barry Alexander played good. I thought Amari Washington played well. I thought Oregon's edges were fantastic in this game, whether it was Mateo or Tatum Tuioti. It was good to see the defensive backfield be advantageous and disruptive. Obviously the game-winning pick from Dylan, but that's just kind of like what we've been wanting to see against the worst team. So it's nice to see that it showed up in a big game like that. But then on offense, you know, I'm pretty darn confident with these guys. The line held up really well. The players that you needed to see make big plays made big plays. It's pretty crazy that they went into Penn State and they had one false start, and it wasn't even on the offensive line. It was on the tight end. And so, you know, that's been something that I've been continued to be impressed with, especially since most of those guys are new on this roster. They said it was a focus coming into this year to cut down on penalties, and they really have. I think they had four total this last game, and they said that's too much, but that's still not that bad of a number when you're considering the environment. So, yeah, it's a really good team. I don't have nearly as many questions as I did a couple weeks ago. What I do think will be interesting, though, is we're not used to like this setup that's about to come to Autzen, where it's a top 10 game, but Oregon's kind of heavily favored, right? Mm-hmm. Like I don't think anybody's really expecting Indiana to come in and pull the upset. So how do the Ducks kind of treat this type of game when the team that's coming into play is kind of playing the role that Oregon's used to playing, where it's you know, Oregon's used to being the one of like, let's position ourselves and make our statement to the world and show that like we belong on this level. That's what Indiana's trying to do now, and it's a new team that the Ducks have to fend off.
Tyson, you named off a bunch of guys on defense, and I don't mean this as a slight. Is Bryce Betcher he's so reliable and so good that you just kind of gloss over it now?
Oh yeah, like I'm just tired of saying his name. Like, I think it's just like you know what you're going to get with Bryce. I mean, he's not only the emotional leader, but he's a cerebral leader out on the field. He's in position just about every single time. There's no player on the team who works harder. Yeah, Bryce, we get it. Like we get it, Bryce. Like we. Come on, let some other guys
shine. Cool, you're good. I get it.
Yeah, it's kind of like when we come over to. I'm just about to hop into Timbers Media, and we talk to Finn Sermon all the time. One, because he's one of the few guys that speak English on the team, but two, like he's really good, and so you kind of get tired of talking to Finn after a while, but. He kind of earns it, you know. So
he's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor, and Lookout Eugene Springfield. We'll keep you on for one more segment. You still good on that?
Yep.
All right, cool. We'll take a quick break and come back. And when we get that, we'll wrap up Penn State ideas and, that running back room established itself, but we got more questions. So we'll do that with Tyson next. 105.1 The Fan. Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor, Lookout Eugene Springfield, hanging with us one more segment. Usually we do this on Wednesday, but Daddy Tyson over there had some other obligations to get to. we'll jump right back into this. I don't want to look ahead too much, you know, and I know we'll talk a lot of Indiana next week as leading up to that game. But something I've been kind of banging the drum on this week, because Danny and I have been kind of talking all season, like, it's just really hard to know who the best teams are. You know, quarterbacks have been just a disaster of a play across the board in college football, and we haven't really seen complete teams. And I've been arguing the two most complete teams that I've seen so far are the Oregon Ducks and the Miami Hurricanes. And I'm curious your opinion, like, if the playoff were to start today, I know we're getting closer and closer to those rankings starting to come out. If the playoff starts today, who's the team on a, whether it's a neutral site or going on a road, that you think would give this team the most fits? Or is Oregon kind of built to go toe-to-toe with anybody?
Oh man, guys, it's October.
I know, but like I asked you last week, you know, does the narrative on this team change if they win a game? And you and I were both kind of like, man, maybe it might, it could. And once that game was over, you and I are both going, this team could win a natty.
Yeah, it was pretty striking how it just kind of felt like that flips or that switch flipped, right? It's a weird year in college football. I mean, it's
very.
Like outside of, you know, I think Ohio State still plenty deserves their number one spot until somebody knocks them off. That was kind of a weird game against Washington for a little bit there, though. Miami's fascinating, guys. Cristobal, like I think, you know, Oregon fans were really enjoying like that first couple of years where he was struggling a little bit and start to build a little bit of momentum in terms of recruiting. And then he has some of those game management issues that maybe occasionally reared their head over here. But I think people are pretty easy to forget that, you know, there were hopes that Cristobal could eventually build Oregon into a title contender. And I think that's what he's been able to at least build in Miami. I mean, I still think that team needs to be kind of tested in high pressure situations. I think that coaching staff needs to be tested with that team in high pressure situations, but I think they're very solid. I think Indiana's very solid. Ohio State's really good, but then like you can kind of go up the list of like other teams. It's like, you know, LSU has looked pretty good at times. They haven't looked good at other times. I know Ole Miss is pretty darn good this year, but also like how much do you trust a Kiffin team over the course of an entire season? I think Oregon's just incredibly well balanced. Having the best quarterback in the country or one of the best quarterbacks in the country certainly helps. I'm still a little curious about just the consistency of this running back rotation. I know it continues to work, but it's just incredibly unconventional. Especially then, you know, when we get the Mackey Hughes news this week that he's going to redshirt. So it's just, everything looks good from the Oregon perspective in terms of you can be balanced and you can adjust to different teams. But again, as we talked about last segment, I still need to see how Oregon can defend against a team that actually has an explosive offense. Cause that was not Penn State.
You said something there that made me perk up. You said Ohio State's the number one team in the country until they get knocked off. Harris and I have had this discussion. I have said that I don't think Ohio State has any business being a top 10 team in this country right now based on their resume. Not that they're not good, because they are very good. They have played Texas, and we'll know a lot more about Texas this weekend. But there's also another game going on in Miami and Florida State. Oregon's off this week. If you're Oregon and you're sitting there, are you looking at Miami just a lot closer just to see kind of how you stack up truly? Because if Miami wins this game, nobody has a better schedule than them so far, as far as like wins against quality teams. And if you're Oregon, aren't you kind of hoping that Indiana really pushes you, that USC and Washington in the back of the schedule could push you, that Iowa could somehow get you into a dogfight, just to kind of give you that? It's a long season, but when you look at that, the level of being tested, it feels like it's very different for Oregon just because of the nature of their schedule versus a team like Miami right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's definitely like pros and cons to that. Oregon not being tested for the first 4 weeks still worked out pretty well in their favor going on the road there. But yeah, I mean, it's not like this is a super outside of Indiana. There's not a whole lot of games that you go like, oh, that one should be close. Like I think Oregon's disciplined enough that they don't necessarily need like, I don't think Dan Lanning's going like, oh, I actually hope this game's close so like we can, you know, have them learn from this. I think they're pretty good with that as it is. The thing about Dan Lanning and the staff though is I'm sure they have staffers watching just about every top 15 game this weekend and every weekend just to start planning on all these guys. And especially with how good Miami is and how they've kind of come into focus, I think they are definitely going to be taking advantage of having a little bit of extra time on Saturday that they don't generally do every other week.
You brought up Hughes as he gets, okayed on the red shirt. Is this a transfer situation? Is this an NFL draft situation? Have we seen his last play as an Oregon Duck?
I don't know. I mean, if it's an NFL draft situation, you guys think pretty highly about the guys that the Ducks currently have, right? But I don't know if that's necessarily the issue. A transfer wouldn't surprise me, but it's, especially since all the guys ahead of him on the depth chart right now outside of Whittington are younger than him, I don't imagine this is a situation where you're going to sit out this year and think that you're going to come back next year atop the depth chart. So, yeah, I wouldn't be like penciling in Mackey Hughes for big carries for the Ducks in 26, but I've been wrong about things before.
I'll get you out of here on this. Two more games left in the regular season. Seattle's a pretty balanced team, and San Diego sits atop the Western Conference. Please tell me that my Timbers are going to the playoffs. Please, please.
They will. But the thing is, what are they going to do when they get there? Like, this has been such a frustrating season for the Timbers, because there are stretches of games where I think that they can play as good as anybody else in the league, maybe outside of some of the absolute elite teams. But then, you know, anytime they take a lead, it seems like they kind of step on the gas and they play defensive, and all of a sudden they concede. Like, they lead the league in ties this year, and it's ridiculous, because it's not games that they were losing and then they came back to tie. It was games that they should have won and then they conceded towards the end. So,
which seems to be a problem for this team, no matter who's in charge.
Yeah. It's just kind of like one of those, you know, that's the Timbers. So, it's been really fun watching Christopher Velda, who came over in the summer transfer window. He's incredibly talented. He's been incredibly unlucky so far. He's hit so many posts. So you can kind of see some of the potential there and kind of see some of the gelling, but it's one of those things, like, they have two games left and then you're in the playoffs. And as we saw last year, you know, sometimes the playoffs don't last very long if you're not in sync. So I think what's frustrating about this team is there is a lot of talent that you can see. It's just that they're still trying to string it all together for a complete match.
I'll be at the last game, so hopefully I'll see you there. We'll get you out and let you pump whatever you're writing this week. What you got?
Oh boy, what do I got? I got, I'm actually going to have a Timbers feature tomorrow on the Corridor, just kind of looking at the evolution of this team from the last time that they went up to Seattle and drew to win the Cascadia Cup. Like, a lot has changed in the last year, but ultimately they're kind of in a similar situation. So I kind of outlining where the last year has taken Portland. So that'll be on the I-5 corridor in Oregonian tomorrow.
All right. He's Tyson Alzer, joins us every single Wednesday at 10:30. Thanks for moving your schedule around and joining us on a Thursday. We'll catch up with you next week. Enjoy the bye weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Always. Thanks, Padre.
That is Tyson Alzer of the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield, one of our favorite friends of this show, and you'll catch him every single week as our Duck Insider throughout the Duck season. When we come back, we got a loaded second hour. We'll take a pause off college football and start looking around at some other sports as things are starting to ramp up. It's October, baby, and everything comes together in October. So we'll do that next. That's Danny. I'm Patrick. This is 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS.
With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.